Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Trent Dilfer, former NFL quarterback, current head coach at Lipscomb Academy. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Matt Duchesne at 8:45, and then Adam Vingan from The Athletic at 9:30 will join us. So a lot still to get to on the show here today. And also coming up a little bit after Trent Dilfer here, Joe Rex Rhodes has got some takes on some Tom Brady conversation that he heard yesterday. Looking forward to that one, too.
Jared attacked me. I must now attack Jared.
Jared attacked you. We had somebody
on feel attacked, Jared.
We had somebody on our text line earlier in the show, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, say that Jared lives in Joe's head rent-free. He mentions him every show.
Or is it the other way around?
Maybe. What do you think?
Well, I think that these segments wouldn't have happened if I wasn't listening yesterday when he attacked me. So I'm just saying. And then I heard, you know, if anybody heard, he had Gentry Estes on because Gentry wrote the column after the Super Bowl in the Tennessean, you know, that the Titans were still right to sign Ryan Tannehill over Brady.
Yeah.
And that is the bottom line of Jared's the whole thing yesterday was about the Titans. So Jared doesn't like that take. And I thought Gentry did a fine job of defending his take on the air.
He did. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy coach, former NFL quarterback. Trent, what's going on, man? How we doing?
How we doing, guys?
We are doing great. Well. Hope you are as well. And, Trent, I want to start just obviously with the Super Bowl taking place on Sunday. Tom Brady. I mean, there have been a lot of strange things that have happened over the last couple of years, as we all know. One thing that felt very normal was Tom Brady winning another Super Bowl. Seven Super Bowls for Brady. Just overall, how impressive was what he was able to accomplish at 43 years old in his first year when an offseason is disrupted as it was with COVID-19? Just where does this rank in terms of Tom Brady's accomplishments?
You know, I don't know if I have the vocabulary to describe it. I'm having a hard time finding the words to describe what we just saw happen. I think to me, what makes it most impressive with all the challenges that went along with this year was what happened, what he was able to do at their bye week. Remember, the team was 7-5. They have a bye week in week 13. There was a lot of rumors coming out of there that there was a big divide between Tom and Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, that certain guys weren't acting professional, that it just didn't, they didn't have their stuff together. Let's put it that way. And then Tom getting 2 weeks with this team to interact with it, to kind of show it, to kind of be the moral authority in the locker room and just press the reset button for an entire organization to say, hey, we're going to start doing the little things well. And as we do the little things well, we'll start figuring out that we're going to be one of the best teams in all of football. And talking to people in the organization, it was the little stuff like pre-snap penalties in practice. It was getting in earlier. It was all the boring stuff that it takes to be great that he started emphasizing. He started speaking up more. And in 2 weeks, they went from an average football team to the best team in football. And I think that him waiting to assert his moral authority with the Bucs is maybe the greatest thing he did this year, because he let them, because he's a new guy and they don't have the offseason, and he's just, you know, acclimating to the program. He kind of lets them, meaning the coaches, the players that were there, do their thing, and they're 7-5. And then he steps in and says, okay, now we're going to do it my way. And they go 8-0 and win the Super Bowl. So I think he just proves that his greatness is more than in his arm and in his brain. It's in his presence. He's the ultimate guy at making everybody around him better. And that's the ultimate job of the quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's an interesting, you know, I hadn't thought of it that way, you know, in terms of sort of holding back and then, you know, making that push late, but obviously that makes sense. And, yeah, you can't take anything away from Tom Brady, obviously, Trent, but I'm going to rope you in on this conversation that is kind of inevitable around here when he wins a Super Bowl. But the Titans, you know, prioritized Ryan Tannehill last year, had a very good year with Ryan Tannehill. Do you think that the Titans should have gone after Brady instead of Tannehill?
I don't know. I mean, I try not to get into that stuff. I like Ryan. I thought he did a great job. I don't think anybody would say Ryan Tannehill was Tom Brady. But again, I don't think anybody could have predicted the impact that Tom would have on his team. And who's to say he would have had it on the Titans like he had it on the Bucs? I don't know. I try not to get into those conversations. I know that they did that. Ryan's the right quarterback for the Titans, and Tom Brady is obviously the right quarterback for the Bucs.
Let's go to Academy Coach Trent Dilfer on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trent, I'm interested to get your perspective on this, and it seems like the young quarterbacks around the league, maybe the shelf life and teams almost giving up on them at times is happening at a more rapid pace than ever before. And obviously we know the quarterback position continues to evolve, and the quarterbacks that just sit behind starters for a year doesn't really seem to be the norm anymore. As you're working with quarterbacks, whether it's at the college level or at the high school level there at Lipscomb Academy, what's your number one piece of advice to them? And what do you think of this trend in the NFL of just forcing young quarterbacks to play maybe even before they're ready?
Yeah, I'll start there. I really struggle with it because I know the challenges I had. I know the challenges some of my peers had. The game was very different back then also, so there were more challenges. Going from the college game to the pro game was just two very different games. Now they're very similar games. I still think it's best to set. You know, I'm kind of on an island on this one, especially when I was at ESPN. My colleagues would make fun of me, because every time this came up, I'd say, I still think it's best if a guy sits. I think the Mahomes, Rodgers, Carson Palmer, I can go, there's some other examples. There's still the better road to go. Now, I'm seeing it work the other way more often. These guys playing early on, kind of getting their lumps, figuring out on the run. I think a lot has to do with who the coaches are. I think that's kind of what I've settled on. I think there's coaches that can tailor-make their offense around what the player did in college. And then I think there's coaches that say, no, this is the way we're going to do it. You got to learn it this way. And if you don't learn it this way, then you're not going to be successful. That's kind of the common denominator I've found with guys having success when they play early, is the coach is very pliable. The play caller, it's like, hey, you know, he did some of this stuff at College X, so we'll start doing some of this stuff. And what'd you call it in college? Well, we called it this. Okay, we'll call it that too. So you have familiarity. And I've seen that happen. It kind of blows my mind, because that never would have happened in the 90s, early 2000s. But I think it's smart on coaches. That's number one, that answer the starting early or sitting early question. The number one thing I'm telling quarterbacks right now is, this idea of just control or command, you can use either word, that the ultimate job of the quarterback is to make everybody better on your team. I said that earlier about Tom Brady. But to do that, you better have command. You better have command of yourself. I've seen too often that these kids come in or they're young players, and they're reactionary to everything going on around them. They control everything but what they can control. Or they try to control everything but what they can control. The ones that are figuring out just have command of themselves, their emotions, their thought patterns, they're wise beyond their years. Obviously, there's work ethic and a skill set that goes into playing quarterback, but more important than any of that is just having kind of command of the things that you can, command of yourself, not letting the little things become big things. Not reacting to what it says on Instagram, not reacting to what's going on in the world around you, not reacting to the drama at school, just kind of staying steady, and those are the kids that are making it. I see more talented kids fall off, not reach their potential, because they react to things that are out of their control. They get dramatic. They again, start letting, I've used this analogy a bunch. They're thermometer leaders instead of thermostat leaders. They react to the temperature of the room instead of changing the temperature of the room. Again, I could give a dissertation on this stuff. I work with so many quarterbacks, but That's the number one thing, is the kids that stay focused on controlling what they can have a chance. Those that let their surroundings control their emotions, their reactions, pretty much have no chance.
Well, Trent, obviously you trained Tua, and you know him well and know his skill set well, like it a lot. I think like a lot of people do. He's the one who really, it stands out to me in this conversation in terms of the outside world, you know, being so quick to be ready to move on or even just, you know, wonder about someone when he comes in his rookie year. And I thought showed some good things, looked like a rookie at times. But what do you think about that situation and where things are going for him?
I think there's a small group of people that have a really loud voice in the NFL. And when they start a narrative one way, people jump on. And I think that's happened to Tua. You saw Herbert and Burrow at one point earlier in the season, two rookie quarterbacks having a lot of success. They were both playing very well, throwing for a lot of yards. Teams weren't necessarily winning, but they were playing well. As that's happening, Tua's not playing. As that's happening, there's a couple disgruntled employees in Miami that are feeding information to these loud voices saying, hey, we don't like them as much as, you know, everybody says we do. And then boom, this thing starts. And everybody that jumped on that bandwagon just, you know, they're brainwashed by media narratives. They don't know any better. They don't know if Tua is good or bad. They probably haven't seen a Dolphins game. They start chiming in. And, you know, what was really happening was Fitzpatrick was playing better than they expected him to at his age. They wanted to because there was no off season. There was no, he was so new to the program, trying to integrate him into their way, their systems. There was a coaching dynamic that there were some people fighting for Fitzpatrick, not because they didn't like Tua, but they wanted to save their jobs. They figured Fitzpatrick would help them win more games. And then Tua was behind. He didn't, you know, he had a terrible injury in college. You know, his football in the offseason was coming to Lipscomb Academy and getting ready for the pro day. So it's not like he had a robust offseason. So he was a little bit behind, and that's okay. So I think a lot of things were happening. What I loved what happened when he played, he had one stinker. He had one game where he turned it over. But besides that, he played really clean football. He played winning football. He played the type of football they're asking him to play. He can't control what plays are called. He can't control that none of the receivers can run fast. He can't control that they don't have a dynamic back. But he played the game the way he was asked to play it. I think that shows great promise. Because we know he's super talented. So we know once they get more talented around him, that's only going to bring out more of his talent. I didn't know this about him. I didn't know he could play that conservatively. I didn't know he could play that style of football. He'd never been asked to play that style of football. I was really impressed that he was able to play that way, and it shows a lot of what I call discernment as a quarterback, where you're more discerning than you are prideful. Because a lot of quarterbacks say, listen, I'm not going to make these type of boring decisions. I'm just going to let it rip and show what I got, and they end up throwing a bunch of interceptions. He was like, I'm going to do what I'm asked to do. I'm going to be very careful with my approach. I'm going to give my team a chance to win considering who we are. I think that bodes well for his future.
Trent Dilfer on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Trent, last thing for you here. You're a couple years in now at Lipscomb Academy. What's this experience been like for you? Obviously, nobody foresaw a pandemic coming over the course of the last year, so an unforeseen challenge there. But overall, what's this experience been like for you so far? Has it been as rewarding as you thought it would be?
Yeah, and that's the word I'd use, is rewarding. You know, there's a lot of things as a high school coach, and if any are listening, they'll nod their heads. That isn't fun. You never put it in the fun category. But you realize that, you know, you do what you do to impact the families in a powerful way. And when you do that, it is so rewarding. It's so rewarding to see kids mature in front of your eyes. It's so rewarding to see them change some of the ways they view the world. It's so rewarding to see the work ethic change. It's rewarding to see them come together. You know, kids that never would have met each other all of a sudden becoming buddies. There's so many cool things about it. You know, Lipscomb has been rewarding that they were just so bad. I mean, it was so bad from a football standpoint and just a culture standpoint. And now it's pretty good. It's not good enough, but it's pretty good. And they have pride about that. And there's an energy that's around the program and around the community that I think wasn't there. So those things are really rewarding. It's rewarding to see kids that wouldn't have played college football go on and play college football. We've had quite a bit of that. Even in this year where recruiting's a disaster because of the pandemic and seniors staying at their colleges, so there'd be no room for 2021s. We're still having kids that are going and playing college football. That's exciting. That's rewarding. So I think it'll be even more rewarding if we could ever win a state title. We got to win the last game of the year. It really doesn't matter. Like, I hope we win one. I think we will win multiple ones. I think we're going to just keep getting better and better and better. But even if we don't, it's been worth every second because of how rewarding it's been.
Lipscomb Academy coach and former NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Trent, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Anytime. Have a great one.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Trent had to say there and get into the Tom Brady discussion as well. Joe Rexro, Jared Stillman, arguing back and forth. This is always a doozy. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Trent Dilfer for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, spent some time talking with Trent about Tom Brady. And it is interesting to think about kind of the feeling out process that Trent described there of, you know, just kind of letting things play out, seeing what he's got with his new team and maybe implementing some stuff in the bye week. And all of a sudden you go 8-0, you win a Super Bowl, and Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are champs right now. So the legend of Tom Brady continues to grow in Tampa Bay. And Jared Stillman had some thoughts yesterday, our beloved Jared Stillman that we talk about a lot here on the show. Got some textures that think maybe he lives in your head, Joe.
And I'd like to say, maybe I live in his.
He was talking about
Brady called me yesterday. Out yesterday.
Well, what'd he say?
Well, okay. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. See, I agree with Dilfer. You know, I didn't think we would talk about this anymore. I think we talked about it Monday, right? Okay,
yeah.
Brady Titans. No, okay. What? I mean, I think we all agreed, but I'm interested to hear Porth's take on Stillman's take.
There are people that believe Tom Brady would have done better here with the Titans than Ryan Tannehill.
I've
even heard the argument that he would have spoken life into the defense,
right,
in a way that Ryan Tannehill couldn't have.
And that's where Jared and people like that think he's like this omnipotent sea creature who can just change. When I listened to Jared talk about Brady yesterday, let's take it away from, you know, Jared ripping me and quoting me inaccurately. But like, I'm like, how did he ever lose? Because, seriously, Stillman yesterday said Romeo Crennel, Willie McGinnis, Vrabel, Rodney Harrison. Like, basically, he gave Brady credit for all those guys being good. So my question is, then, when those guys were gone and they went a decade without winning a Super Bowl, why didn't he make those guys good? Is it possible that this is a team sport and that one person does not have that kind of power? I mean, here's the thing, and this is about the Titans, okay? Because what Jared had a Bruce Arians quote, it was a great quote about Brady bringing a winning attitude to the Bucs.
Sure.
Great quote, and no one would argue. He not only brought a competent quarterback, but he brought championship DNA. I mean, no one's arguing with that. But the problem is the Titans didn't need that, and I think we're missing that here, right? The Titans had just gone to the AFC Championship game. The Titans went 11-5 this year. They didn't have a locker room where they're like, well, we don't know how to win. I think most of them not winning was Jameis Winston throwing 31 picks. The story of the Super Bowl was a defense that dominated the Chiefs. doesn't mean Tom Brady's not the GOAT or that he didn't have a huge impact. But Stillman now wants to take it to how could these people think that you would want – I mean, he got Gentry Essis on to defend his column, which was, yeah, the Titans were right, signed Tannehill. Gentry's column was dead on right.
Ryan Porth, do you think that the Titans made a mistake not going after Tom Brady and prioritizing Ryan Tannehill?
I'm
– You're changing your answer if not.
I'm somewhere in the middle on it. I tend to lean towards Tannehill because of Brady's age. But this is where I will agree partially with what Jared was saying yesterday. And that was not the Titans stuff, but the Brady effect stuff, where there's an intangible that Tom Brady has where he is just a flat-out winner. And that has a trickle-down effect to the rest of the team, in my belief, that when you have someone in that position where it is the most important position on the team and he has six rings and he is, for all intents and purposes, and, you know, unless you're Joe Rexroad before, you know, Sunday, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, that instills a belief within a team that you are going to go out and win any given Sunday. Whereas when you have other quarterbacks, and I'm not throwing Tannehill into that discussion, but when you have other quarterbacks like Jameis Winston, that does not instill belief in your team. And I think that's where you can have the trickle-down effect where the defense is playing with more confidence because you have this quarterback on the other side that you believe in. Whereas when you're having to go out there after interception when Jameis is throwing them, it can be this trickle-down effect negatively when you don't have that intangible of a winner at quarterback.
See, okay, that's all fine. You can't take it away from the Titans. That's what the foundation of the discussion was. He wanted Gentry Essis on to defend this column. So he did take it to the Titans. Here's a quote from Jared in the discussion with Gentry. Brady would have made Byard better. So Kevin Byard, this year on the field, because Tom Brady's on the sideline, please explain that to me.
I don't have an answer for that one. But if,
don't look at me.
But if there's a trickle-down effect from the quarterback when he is a winner like Tom Brady, not to say that Ryan Tannehill isn't, does that just instinctively make the team play more efficiently, better, everything, than if your quarterback is not Tom Brady?
So Vic Beasley just tearing up quarterbacks.
No.
I mean, well, exactly.
Vic Beasley was a lost cause.
At what point are we over the line of stupid? I mean, Brady would have made Byard better is ridiculous. Now, Jared played a Skip Bayless clip, of course, but he also played this dude from Boston yesterday. And what is it, Jim Murray? Is that right?
I have no clue.
I don't know what his name is. Jared listens to those Boston guys a lot, and he plays them. So this guy, I'm going to just paraphrase this guy. He's talking about Jordan Whitehead, the safety for the Bucks. He played through a torn labrum Sunday, okay? So this guy, and Jared played this clip, is like, well, you know, he wouldn't have played with any other quarterback. He wouldn't.
It's the Super Bowl.
Dude, you think that he played for Tom? Like, it's the Super Bowl. Oh, but Tom wants me to play. I'm going to play for Tom. It's just, it's way overboard. And again, if this is true, then how did he ever lose? How did the Titans beat him when Tannehill played better than him last year? How did that happen? I think Tom Brady had a great offseason, and he proved me wrong this year. He was great. But please, he's not changing the defense on his team. The Bucs were great on defense. They had the pieces, and they won the Super Bowl.
When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Got some text to get to on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you think of this Tom Brady discussion? Could there have been an intangible improvement with the Titans, even on the defensive side of the ball? Or are you with Rex Road and think that's totally ludicrous? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Predator centerman Matt Duchene will join us here in about 10 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation starting at 8:45 with Matt Duchene. We'll get into the latest with the Nashville Predators with him. Right now, talking about Tom Brady and the discussion led by Jared Stillman yesterday that Joe Rexroad has reacted to here. What about the Titans? Could Tom Brady have come in and made a difference with the Titans in the bottom line? Could he have spoken some life into that defense?
Hey, Shane, wait, what blitz you running? No, come on. Let's talk about this. Hey, Kevin, no, you got to widen your stance there, Kevin. Hold on, guys. I'm going to go over to the defensive side. I got to work with the defense for a little bit.
Bruce Arians did talk about him being a coach out there. Says he doesn't have to do anything. It's just Brady coaching.
Coach on the field. All those Patriots players, all those guys in the field, they were okay. But when they talked to Tom Brady, the inspiration. I mean, and Pete Carroll. And Tom Brady clearly looked across the field and gave him the Jedi. And Pete Carroll said, you know what? I'm not going to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Let's try it. Let's throw a slant.
A little bit of the Brady haterade's coming back. Joe Rexrow was very, very complimentary earlier this week.
No.
There's
no,
a little bit of haterade coming back.
Smelling a lot of haterade.
No. I said he's the GOAT.
You did.
And I think the Bruce Arians quote is great, and I agree that he brought a winning, not just good quarterbacking, but a winning thing. I totally buy that. But let's get freaking real. This is so stupid. It's a team sport. It's a team sport. There's no one who has this kind of power.
Let's go to our text line.
The Kraken, the real-life Kraken, Tom Brady.
Not Seattle. It's Tom Brady. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, Brady would have definitely thrown for more yards and carried us when they stopped Henry against the Ravens.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can make that argument. That's fine. When we talk about the Titans and Bucks, again, the Titans did not need someone to come in and say, guys, this is how you win. They had just gone to the AFC Championship game. They had just beat Tom Brady.
Right, but there's a difference between going to the AFC title game and winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, no, but there's a difference. I understand that, but I'll send it right back to you. So they win a Super Bowl this year with Tom Brady as quarterback?
No. I've already made my thoughts clear on this. No.
I mean, because that's kind of where we're going.
But
the mythical sea monster, Tom Brady.
All right, so there was you flip this around. Okay. Was another conversation that Jared had yesterday, I believe, with Gentry, and that was, what about Tannehill in a Bucs uniform?
Yep.
Does that Tampa team win a Super Bowl if Ryan Tannehill was their quarterback this year?
How could that question be asked? Did we watch the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl saw the Kansas City Chiefs score a touchdown.
It's not about
you think
that
Tannehill.
It's not about that game. It's about Tannehill being the quarterback of the Bucs all season long.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of quarterbacks could have won the Super Bowl with how well that Bucs defense played on Sunday.
That's kind of the point.
It's about right. The whole season, though.
Okay.
Yeah, that defense has been pretty good the whole season.
But they were 7-5 at one point.
Yeah, because the offense sucked.
So
they
what happened?
Not score points.
Did Tom's mystical powers, like, were they not
working?
Did you
watch that team offensively to begin the season? They were atrocious.
He's one guy. He's the greatest quarterback ever.
Do they go 8-0 after 7-5 with Ryan Tannehill as quarterback?
They're probably not 7-5. They're probably like 9-3.
I mean, to answer the general question, could Ryan Tannehill have been the one at all with the Bucs this year as a quarterback? Yes. And there's other guys that you would say yes to as well.
I don't think Tannehill. I think it's too easy to say that with Tannehill.
You're saying no?
I would lean towards no.
Okay.
I would lean towards no.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike texted in from Gallatin. The only feeling I have on this is that Brady could have helped us influence different free agents to help us win now.
Yeah.
You can't ignore the clout that Brady has being the greatest of all time. LeBron goes to the Lakers and gets players to follow him to chase a ring at minimum price. Brady has the same pull that Ryan Tannehill doesn't.
Well, I think that's a good point on what Brady did, because obviously they got Gronk and AB because of him. And Fournette ends up mattering. I don't know how much he was involved in the Fournette aspect, but probably it made it more attractive. The thing is, though, what did the Titans need offensively? I mean, if you brought Gronk in, he's good. So, you got to still take it to this situation. But, and I just really meant to rip Jared today, but I'm going to go again to Chase a couple weeks ago saying that they wouldn't have signed Vic Beasley if they had Tom Brady. And if I'm misquoting you, Chase, like Jared did me yesterday, let me know. But I believe he said that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Now, he's on the front end of like personnel moves now? What does this guy not do? Is he like also a Secret Service agent? He's a quarterback.
Well, he's a quarterback. But I think it's pretty obvious that the Buccaneers listened to Tom Brady some personnel stuff.
But any defensive stuff? I mean, I don't know of anything.
All their defensive players were in place.
Right. They were pretty good. So let's bring him here. Do you think that he's like, hey, John, before you make that call to those GMs, we need to have a sit down here. Let's talk about what you're doing. I don't think that that's – I think that's not realistic.
Probably not. And it also depends on – like, it's pretty obvious also that the Buccaneers were completely willing to, hey, this is your team. We're going to follow it. Whatever you want to do. You want to bring in Antonio Brown? Great. We'll do that. You want to bring in Rob Gronkowski? Great. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Would the Titans have been the same way with Tannehill? I tend to think maybe not quite as extreme.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine Mike Vrabel just being like, yeah, Tom, whatever you want to do, man.
Right. No. But I think that there's truth to the Pied Piper thing with Brady. You know, that he's a guy who people are like, oh yeah, I wanna make a run with him. That's all fine. Again, it's just that there's limitations to what one person can have. And Jared thinks, I mean, Jared seriously went back through the entire history of the Patriots and said, none of these guys were any good, but they had Brady. I mean, come on. I mean, like, we're already into the going back and rewriting Bill Belichick's legacy, which is dumb.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt texted in, I really like Tannehill, and he played great this year, but he's shown he's not a guy that can carry your offense when Henry in the run game isn't working. Brady has proved time and time again that he's got the ability to do that. So, we talked about it the day after it happened. This is going to be a talking point with Tannehill of when they shut down Derrick Henry, can he be the guy that gets it done when it matters in the playoffs? The answer was no this time around. I mean, I would feel better about Tom Brady in that situation.
Yeah.
Just given on the based on the fact he's done it time and time again. Does that change it at all? Where, you know, the story of the game, largely in the playoff game, wasn't the defense. Now, I also think we're getting a little mythical about the defense in that game because people think that they were good. They were not good defensively in that game against Baltimore. They were better than they had been,
yeah,
but they were not good defensively in that game.
They still ultimately, yeah, couldn't get it done at the end.
But does that change it at all? Do you think that maybe the Titans win that game if Brady is a quarterback?
Well, look, I mean, maybe. I can't say like in one game would Brady have made three better throws than Tannehill made and won it. And maybe. I could buy that. I also watched live as Tom Brady couldn't get his team over the hump against the Titans, against Ryan Tannehill a year ago. And Ryan Tannehill was better than him in that game. It's just one meeting. It's one playoff game. But if we're going to talk playoff history and all that stuff, I mean, I think you have to at least mention that, right? I mean, I think that's part of why the decision was made. And again, I think Tom Brady is a – I think Tom Brady looked to me like a better player this year than he did last year. And
agreed.
Maybe he's rejuvenated and he's like he's going to prove
a point.
He also
had a lot more talent. But yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean – It's the bottom line is to me it is a team sport and we always want to give too much credit and blame to the coach and the quarterback. And those Patriots championship team, again, this was Tom Brady's best statistical Super Bowl ever, okay? And it wasn't mind-blowing. Not to take anything away from him, but he was on teams back then that were great. Great coaching, great defense, and you can't just sanitize all that and just say it's the GOAT. It's the GOAT. You can, but it's just it's way too simplistic. And I just 100 times out of 100 will say the Titans made the right decision.
We'll pick this conversation back up later this week and continue to get your reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predator Center Matt Duchesne. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, when the Preds have a game day a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a Preds prize pack. Next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45, so make sure you're tuning in for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and it is time for our weekly visit. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Matt Duchesne, Predator Cinnamon, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Two Rivers Ford. Matt Duchesne, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Matt, let's start with the Super Bowl, because we've been talking about it all week long here on the show. Number one, did you watch the Super Bowl? What was that viewing experience like this year? And what do you think of, as a fellow athlete, what do you think of Tom Brady winning his seventh title of the greatest quarterback of all time?
Yeah, we just we kept it pretty low key. Obviously, we're not able to have like a team party this year, just with everything going on COVID wise. But yeah, I watched the game, and yeah, it's incredible what he's done. I remember when he signed there, and people were saying they were Super Bowl contenders or whatever, and I was kind of like, ah, really? Like, you know, he's 43. His best years are probably behind him, and then he goes out and wins it. I mean, it's just incredible. I think it showed, you know, how much of it was him in New England that whole time. And I know there was always a debate between him and Belichick, and, you know, Belichick's an unbelievable coach as well. But, you know, it's just amazing that Brady could go and just completely change a team around single-handedly that hadn't been in the playoffs very much. And I don't even remember when the last time they were in the playoffs was. And, you know, he goes and plays like that this year. And they had a tough start, you know, as a group, and just trying to get all the new pieces. And he just comes in and does that. It's pretty unbelievable.
So, Matt, where is this Predators team right now in terms of confidence? I guess in terms of, you know, outlook, viewpoint. I mean, obviously a couple real rough losses here to Tampa Bay, who we all know is a very good team. We also know you guys had a, you know, a players-only meeting, and you know, I mean, Roman Yossi kind of made it clear you guys don't want to necessarily talk about the contents of that meeting, but do you think it was productive and that it will have any kind of positive impact?
A lot of good questions, I guess. Yeah, we're in a tough spot right now. We've scored 3 goals in the last 3 games. You can't win like that. Bottom line, Tampa's a heck of a team, but when we're healthy, I think we have on paper we're just as good. And you know, it's about, you know, taking it from the paper to the ice. And we don't have much going for us right now offensively, there's a lot of things we're doing well, and but at the end of the day, you score 1 goal a game. What are you going to do? You can't win like that. So I'm not too sure what the answer is. But you know, the nice thing is we get to go right back at it tomorrow.
And what about that players only meeting? Like, can you tell us anything about that?
No, that's between us.
Matt, offensively, you mentioned, you know, one goal a game recently. What are you seeing out there offensively? Because like you mentioned, there are times where you are generating chances. As a player, how do you find a way to take those chances and convert them into goals on a more consistent basis? I know that's something that y'all have talked about all season long.
Yeah, I think we, up until the last 3 games, we were generating quite a bit. And it was one of those situations where the finish just wasn't there. But we were, you know, there were, the last 3 games have not been good. It just feels like we're not generating what we need to score goals. And I feel like we're a little disjointed between forwards and D in the O zone. I think we're fine pretty much until we get in the O zone, and we're able to hold the puck. I think we actually had more zone time than Tampa last night. Some of the finer stats are interesting. I mean, we had zone time in the first 2 periods, and the last period, I'm not sure how that shook out, but you can't just hold the puck and play keep away. You gotta make plays, and I think right now that we're not maybe working as a 5-man unit the way we should be, and we gotta figure it out. I mean, it's a short season, and the nice thing is you play your own division so much that you can climb pretty quick. And you know, while we're not where we want to be record-wise, it's very salvageable. But we gotta figure it out. I mean, I haven't seen too many situations like this in my career where a team is so dry offensively, and it's demoralizing. And at the same time, you know, it's a chance to get better and grow. And I think that's how the attitude we got to have. And we got a 2-game set against Detroit. You know, Tampa's got our number right now. We'll put that aside. We played them a lot in the last little bit. We'll put that to the side for now, and we'll get ready for a different team here coming in, and one we haven't played yet.
Yeah, you mentioned the 5-man chemistry there, Matt. So, because obviously, at times that we've talked about your own game, you've had a lot of chances early. just not able to get him home. Now you've got a few home, but when you talk about that chemistry in the O-zone, like how do you work on that? You know, is it one of those things where the more guys play together, like either whether on the same line or whatever the case may be, that should improve? Or like how do you in the middle of a season when something is going this way, how do you try to fix that?
Well, obviously you got to make adjustments to your plan when it's not, you know, going the way that it's supposed to. I think guys as individuals need to talk about, you know, what their plan is per line. For me, I mean, I always try and talk with the guys on my line and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. It's not like you deviate from the game plan or anything, but you have certain things that work and that, you know, each player's strengths. And, you know, I've played with Granlund a lot, for example, and he and I have good chemistry because we talk about the game and we talk about what we want to do, and we can really read each other out there. And that's why we're able to, you know, provide some chances and generate some stuff most nights. So it doesn't matter who else is with us, whether it's Forsberg or Cunnan or who, whatever. And that's kind of, I think, the way that you got to operate as a line. I think you got to talk and communication is huge. And you know, if you know where each other is going to be, and there's certain things that every team does three or four things differently systematically, and there's ways to expose different teams on different nights. And I think you just, you know, you got to know. We will obviously watch pre-scout as a team, but then, and the coaches do a good job of, you know, showing us what we need to do. But then after that, it's up to us as players to talk about it and kind of like go into more detail individually on it. So I think that's a trap. We could easily fall into negativity right now. And, you know, waking up this morning, to be honest, I'm pretty negative about the situation. And that's something that, you know, all of us have to flush and get ready for tomorrow. We put it in a place, and, you know, it's good to feel those emotions because you know, it's not all roses all the time, you know, and, you know, you gotta just manage those things, feel those things, and put them in a place and go forward. So, yeah, it's tough right now. I mean, this is rock bottom in terms of, you know, offensively for us. And, you know, I think the nice thing is we're 5-8, and we've left a lot of offensive production on the table. So if we can figure that out, we'll flip that record pretty quick.
Pred Center Matt Duchesne on the line with us, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Two Rivers Ford. And Matt, as you know, we've talked a lot about it. I mean, just the conversation from John Hines last year, yourself, and other players in the room was about the mentality of the team and how you felt like you've made some strides in that area this year. How do you think that's going from a mentality, which, as you mentioned, things are not going the way you want to on the ice right now? How is the team held up in that area from your vantage point?
Well, I think the first 5-6 games, I loved the way we were playing. I loved the vibe in the locker room. It was very different than last year, and that, you know, that right now it's not as good. I mean, it isn't when you lose. I mean, it doesn't matter how good of a group you have in the locker room. You know, when you lose 3 in a row, you know, 4 of your last 5. You know, it's pretty darn tough to keep that up. So I think that's where the character comes through, and that's where I think as a group we need to really band together and stick together. And I have seen that despite, you know, maybe not, you know, being as happy as we were and as, you know, energetic and whatever, I am seeing guys stick together and have each other's backs and through this whole thing, and that'll take us a long way, because, you know, every team goes through adversity, and, you know, hopefully we're getting ours out of the way early this year. And I just see a group of guys that are for each other, and that's important. And the easy thing to do in a situation like this is to put your head down, worry about your own stuff, and forget about the team, and you know, you try and not be on, you know, you try and do things out on the ice and not be on video, rather than trying to do things to help the team win. And I'm not seeing that from guys. I think I'm seeing guys that are, you know, working. We worked hard last night. We didn't get the result. Again, it's, you know, you score one goal, you can't win. but I'm seeing guys that are you know, showing up and being good leaders and good character guys. And, you know, it doesn't always result in wins. And the sport's very complicated and the dynamics are very complicated. And it's something that, you know, I'm still even learning about 12 years into my career. So, but I've seen a lot of good things that way. And I believe in our group on and off the ice.
Brett Center Matt Duchesne has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Two Rivers Ford. Matt, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck tomorrow against Detroit, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Matt Duchesne, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. I'll tell you what, when we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Duchesne had to say there. Get back into the Preds as well. Take your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.